It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia lawmakers are considering abortion bills in Charleston this week.
And we know that we have 7,000 kids across the state of West Virginia that were actually born alive that are in need of foster care. And we're not addressing that in the first week of the session.
That's coming up on this West Virginia morning. A federal judge has denied a request by former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship to overturn his criminal conviction for his role in the 2010 Upper Big Branch mine disaster. Brittany Patterson has more.
In an order issued Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Irene Berger ruled Blankenship's conviction will stand. The former mining company executive served a one-year prison sentence for his role in the April 2010 explosion at the Upper Big Branch mine that killed 29 men. Blankenship's attorneys argued his conviction should be overturned because federal prosecutors illegally withheld documents during his trial. The former CEO argued the documents could have exonerated him. A federal magistrate judge in August found the argument persuasive and recommended Blankenship's conviction be overturned. Judge Berger disagreed. She said while it was wrong of federal attorneys to withhold information, there was a clear legal precedent. Blankenship can appeal the decision to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
The House of Delegates passed a bill known as the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. The measure calls on doctors to use reasonable medical judgment in the event of an unsuccessful abortion. It passed with bipartisan support. Some Democrats argued that the bill does nothing and is an attempt at furthering political divides coming into an election cycle. Still, many of those in the minority voted in favor of the bill. Dave Mistich reports.
In the lead-up to Wednesday's vote, various groups supporting abortion rights and their lobbyists sent a letter to lawmakers urging them to vote against the bill. But each group's position was much more nuanced than that. West Virginia Free and the state chapter of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists said they would appreciate no votes, but completely understand those who supported the bill. The ACLU of West Virginia took a similar position, saying they opposed the bill but wouldn't target those who voted for it in the upcoming election cycle. But Planned Parenthood Votes South Atlantic explicitly said they would encourage opposition to the bill and will be informing supporters of lawmakers' votes. As debate on House Bill 4007 carried on Wednesday, a mix of those sentiments informed Democrats' floor speeches. Delegate John Doyle, a Democrat from Jefferson County, began discussion on the measure.
This bill does absolutely nothing. It proposes to make illegal something that is already illegal. A friend of mine, I haven't seen him in a number of years, his name is Leon Copeland. He served in this House back in the late 70s. And Delegate Copeland came up with what he called the Copeland Rule to apply to a bill. That is a bill that does absolutely nothing for anyone and absolutely nothing to anyone. The Copeland Rule applies to this bill. So I think it makes absolutely no difference how I vote or how anyone else votes on this bill. It shouldn't be here because it does nothing.
Republicans such as Tom Fast of Fayette County argued that the measure was necessary to protect life. He painted the picture of a situation a doctor might face should a fetus be delivered alive following an unsuccessful abortion procedure.
When you have a live baby that was just born, regardless of what the intent was moments prior, but when you have that live baby laying on the table, what you don't do is have a doctor say, well, we'll just have a discussion with the mother and see what to do. That's what you don't do. You help that child. You work with that child. You give that child medical care, just like if it were myself, you, your daughter, your son laying on that table. You give that child, that person, due medical care. That's what this bill does. It is important.
Delegate Evan Hansen, a Democrat from Monongalia County, read veto messages from governors in Montana, North Carolina, and Wisconsin related to similar measures. He noted that the head of WVU Medicine's OBGYN department says the chance of this bill affecting West Virginians is, quote, extremely small. Hansen also argued that other issues should take priority this early in the legislative session.
Yesterday, I attended the Hunger Caucus meeting. People from both parties were there. And we learned that 1 in 5 kids in West Virginia, kids that were actually born alive, are hungry. But we're not addressing that in the first week of the session. And we know that we have 7,000 kids across the state of West Virginia that were actually born alive that are in need of foster care. And we're not addressing that in the first week of the session. Those are real crises that we should be voting on. My constituents sent me to Charleston to solve real problems and not to vote for a bill that does nothing but divide us. So I'm not playing this political game. I'm going to vote no.
Other Democrats like Mike Pushkin of Kanawha County also focused on the divisive nature of the issue, but in the end voted in support of the bill.
It is. It's ridiculous and it's sick to use this as a political tool. Okay, I think that the goal of this bill is to get a few of us to vote against it so you can run these ads. Personally, I don't think it changes the standard of care. So I'm pro-choice. I think I'll still be pro-choice after I don't fall into your trap.
Democratic Delegate Sammy Brown of Jefferson County questioned House Health and Human Resources Chairman Jordan Hill about the science behind the underlying issue. She pointed out that the only abortion provider in West Virginia self-imposes a ban on the procedure after 16 weeks of gestation. State law prohibits the procedure after 20 weeks. Brown noted that a fetus is unable to survive at such an early stage. She wrapped up her comments on the bill by arguing that it's a political maneuver.
I'm all for policy that will protect mothers, that will protect infants, that will protect life, but this simply isn't it. It is my charge and yours to protect individuals within your respective communities, not disenfranchise them, and not play to a rhetoric that is intended to divide us all.
Assistant Majority Leader Delegate Kayla Kessinger of Fayette County closed debate on the measure by offering a gruesome story about an abortion provider in another state. She argued his practice highlights the need for House Bill 4007.
Not too long ago, a few years ago, Kermit Gosnell in our neighboring state of Pennsylvania was fined and found guilty of murdering babies after birth. He literally snipped their spinal cords, left them on a table, and literally put the heads of those babies in the refrigerator where his staff kept their lunch. There are plenty of documentaries about it. You can look at it. And my goal in West Virginia is to make sure that doesn't happen.
The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act passed on a 93-5 vote, with all opposing votes coming from Democrats. 4 of those 5 votes against the bill came from delegates representing the 51st District, which covers most of Monongalia County. House Bill 4007 now heads to the Senate for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
Here in West Virginia, our primary isn't until May, but candidates are already gearing up for the months ahead. All 3 seats in the House of Representatives will be on the ballot, as well as a U.S. Senate seat. Yesterday, we heard from some of the Republicans who are running for governor against incumbent Jim Justice. Today, we'll learn about some of the Democrats who have thrown their hats into the ring. Independent producer Kyle Vass reports.
Democrats in West Virginia find themselves trying to displace a Republican governor for the first time in 2 decades. And with U.S. Senator Joe Manchin deciding not to come back and run for governor, a lot of questions remain as to who can take back the governor's mansion. As of now, 6 Democrats have stepped up to fill the power void created by Manchin's decision. Jody Murphy, Ben Salango, Cecil Silva, Edwin Vanover, Stephen Smith, and Ron Stallings. Stallings says he brings a lot of experience to the ticket with his 3 terms in the West Virginia State Senate.
I have about 13 and a half years of experience in the State Senate. I've been a physician here in my hometown for 34 years.
Stallings sees the other Democratic candidates as lacking the experience necessary to be governor.
None of them have anywhere near the experience that I have in public service or in real life.
Another candidate, Kanawha County Commissioner Ben Salengo says he's running because he wants to bring his experience with economic development to the governor's mansion.
So one of the main things that I've done as Kanawha County Commissioner is the Shawnee Sports Complex. It has brought in tens of millions of dollars in the sports tourism industry.
Both Stallings and Salengo are very quick to distance themselves from Democrats at a national level. They want to make it clear that they are not down with what's going on at the DNC. Here's Stallings.
I have a proven track record of being a centrist, more socially and economically moderate than our Washington, D.C. friends.
And Salengo?
I'm not far left. I'm more of a centrist. I am a moderate Democrat. People call it a West Virginia Democrat.
Political professor Rob Rupp explains what it means to be a West Virginia Democrat.
In West Virginia, when you're a Democrat in an increasingly conservative state, you do what I call the West Virginia Democrat two-step, which is you're taking a step away from the national party. And that's just a self-selective process of a step toward moderation in Democratic politics, particularly in the last 15 to 20 years.
And then you have community organizer Stephen Smith, who is a West Virginian and a Democrat. But don't call him a West Virginia Democrat.
What you see in West Virginia politics is either people sell their soul to big corporate interests and lobbyists and PACs, or they're already a rich guy who's made a bunch of money off the backs of other folks, and they put their own money in the race.
Smith's campaign raised a record-breaking amount in small donations for a West Virginia gubernatorial candidate. And he sees his race for governor as just one race in the West Virginia Can't Wait campaign that he helped start. They're currently backing 58 candidates in various elections around the state.
What we need are candidates at every level of office and a politics that responds to everyday working people, not to the wealthy few. And we can have that government, but only if all of us come together and only if we stop waiting on some politician, any politician, to come and save us.
Smith is really mobilizing Democrats, getting a lot of small contributions. Usually in West Virginia politics, it wouldn't work. The populist candidate makes a challenge but usually doesn't win. But of course, these are not usual times, and Smith is not running a usual campaign.
Professor Rupp sees an identity crisis in both parties, but he sees the Republican one as short-term and the Democratic one as a potentially defining moment for years to come.
For the Republicans, it's championing a questionable candidate in terms of his party resume. So their question is, can they rally around and make sure that justice gets reelected and the Republicans held on to the governor's mansion? For the Democrats, it's a more strategic long range. Where are they going to bank their future? On the populist emphasis of Smith, or a more moderate and traditional one? And the argument for the Democrats is not just about this election, it's about the next three elections. And the Republicans are just saying how they want to stay in power.
In other words, Rupp says that the Democrats are taking a long, hard look to decide what their party platform is before moving forward. Meanwhile, Republicans are deciding who is best suited to maintain control of their newly claimed gubernatorial seat. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Kyle Vass.
That story is part of a recent episode of Inside Appalachia, in which we explore politics across our region. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.